Hallelujah. I'm thankful. Thankful for the blessings of Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm thankful for the Word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. I'm thankful for the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. I'm feeling the power of God here tonight. Hallelujah, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Spontaneous praise. Where two or three are gathered together in His name. He said He would be there in the midst. Hallelujah. Jesus is here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the beautiful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord in the name of Jesus. I am so thankful for the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, that I feel here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Read a scripture, hallelujah. Read one of the four. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Let's pray, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, bless. Oh, Lord, open understanding to your word, which is forever settled in heaven. Oh, God, let everyone in hearing this feel the Spirit of God we're feeling in here tonight. But we ask it in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. You may be seated, and I want to thank you. Thank you who have been praying for us. I know you are. Hallelujah. The faithful saints of God, whether you're hearing us over the CD-ROMs or over the internet, I appreciate your prayers. So, hallelujah. Because we're just a little small group here. We need all the prayer support we can get. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we might ask or think. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Jehovah has become our salvation. We believe in one God. We believe in Jesus. Hallelujah, and Him only. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Reading tonight, 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. And boy, there's so many popping up every other week in this day and age. Somebody claiming to be the Christ, claiming this, claiming that. 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. That's because they're the same one. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. 2 John 1, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. Now what I've read you, the word Antichrist appears in the King James Version, in the Holy Bible, the entire Holy Bible. The word Antichrist appears four times. And I've just read you the four verses where it shows up. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to get a little technical here, but it's important to go over these things. In each of these verses, the word translated as Jesus comes from the Strong's reference 2424. And since words do mean things, so let us look at the definition of the word. If we are to understand a Bible verse, then we need to know the meaning of the words used in that verse. Doesn't that make sense? If you're going to understand what you're reading, it's good to know the definition of the words that you are reading. Now, next time I'm going to be a little bit technical here, but if you'll bear with me, I believe it'll be worthwhile. In each of these verses, the Strong's give it the word that the number is 2424, which comes translates as Jesus, I-E-S-O-U-S, which is of Hebrew origin. And now the reference there of the Hebrew origin is the Hebrew word that's translated 03091. I'll get to that in a minute. But this gives the definition of as Jesus, and then Jesus Joshua, and Jesus Justice. And then it's got Jesus equals Jehovah is salvation. The word Jesus translates Jehovah Savior or Jehovah is salvation. Now, The reference there, there's a reference to the Hebrew, that 03091. Now that word comes from Hebrew and is Yehoshua, or Yehoshua. Now I'm not claiming to be the greatest pronouncer here, but it means Joshua or Jehoshua, which equals Jehovah is salvation. But that also refers to another Hebrew word, which is 03068. And that is the word Yehovah or Jehovah. So I've taken you here to the definition of the word that translates as Jesus. And what I'm telling you here tonight is that the word translated as Jesus is translated back, referenced to the Hebrew word Jehovah, meaning the existing one, the proper name of the one true God. It says, unpronounced except with the vowel pointings. Jehovah, the existing one. Did not Jesus himself say before Abraham was, I am? And then they picked up stones to kill him because they knew he was claiming to be God. That's why we worship Jesus as God. So any of these verses, it says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus or Jehovah has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So the antichrist spirit was alive and in practice back then. Yes, there is an antichrist coming that is not yet revealed, but there are antichrist spirits in the world now, and we can recognize them because they will be the ones who deny that Jehovah was manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. Or that Jehovah is the Christ. This is why this is so important. God did not send some junior deity to die on the cross. He showed up in person. Now the Trinity does not teach that Jehovah Savior came in the flesh, but rather teaches that a second person or junior deity came in the flesh. Even though they say, they'll qualify and say, oh, well, these are one. What a load of garbage. Does the Trinity teach that Jehovah died on the cross for your sins, or do they teach that a junior person died on the cross for your sins? They claim, oh yes, we believe that Jesus is Jehovah. Well, so you believe the Father died on the cross? Oh no, we don't believe that. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Father, you don't believe that Jesus is Jehovah, and you don't believe that Jesus is God. Tell you what, if Jesus is God, He is the everlasting Father, just like Isaiah said. If you don't believe Jesus is the Father, oh, even so-called oneness, tiptoe around, oh, well, we don't believe it. Well, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Father, you might as well hang it up and go home, go do something, go watch your TV that you got hid in the closet or whatever. Speaking to some of the UPCers here. Anyway, if you don't believe Jesus is the Father, you're going to go to hell. It's that simple. And I don't care whether you got a UPC preaching license or what you got. There's going to be a bunch of them in the lake of fire. I might as well be playing here tonight. Because it's going to be obedience to the Word of God. A UPC license is not going to be a get-out-of-hell-free card. Anyway, I didn't mean to get into all that. Many are taught John 3:16. But what about 1 John 3:16? Yep, I'm going to read it to you. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, it doesn't say He sent somebody else to die. It says He laid down His life. This does not say that a junior God person died on the cross. It doesn't say that. We believe that Jehovah, Savior, was manifest in the flesh and died on the cross and later received up into heaven. Because to God, what's death? Death and life. These are creations of God. He said, you know, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. And Jesus spoke of the temple of His body. He said, I will raise it up. Yes, that's right. He can put His body down and He can raise His body up because He is God. He is the inventor of life and death. Life and death are nothing to Him. He's going to raise us up. People, we believe in Him, that we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and that all the dead in Christ will be rose up from the grave. life and death nothing to him. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And the reason he said that, because if he hadn't said Lazarus, then all of them would have come out of there. He's the inventor of life and death. Yes, he died on the cross. God died. Yes, God died. That's right. If he hadn't, your sins would not be covered. If it was not God himself that died on the cross, then you would not have hope of salvation and remission of sins. Only the blood of God, hallelujah, not some junior deity, hallelujah, cleanseth from all sin. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Praise the Lord. I'll read you another group of verses that particularly warn against these polytheistic theories and further declare them capable of spoiling the souls of men. In Colossians 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of it. It's all in him. The old song goes. And the next verse says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. If you are in Christ, in Jesus, you are complete in him. You don't need any other persons. Now I want us to review our original verses. Since we know the definition of the word Jesus now, I'm going to substitute it in there so you can understand something, hopefully. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. 1 John 2:22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jehovah is the Christ? He is antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. That's because the Father and the Son are one in the same God manifest in the flesh. 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus, or as we know, Jehovah, Christ, is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jehovah Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. These that deny that Jehovah came in the flesh. That's right. Trinitarianism is not merely stupid, foolish, and deceitful. It is actually an antichrist religion. Because they do not teach that Jehovah came in the flesh. They teach that Jehovah sent somebody else. Now, I know they'll lie and they'll convolute and they'll wiggle around. And I know they're making up their gods as they go along so they can change them on the fly. But the fact remains, they do not believe. They believe and teach that Jehovah sent someone else to die on the cross. They don't believe that the Christ was the God of the Old Testament who said, beside me there is no Savior. Jehovah is our salvation. That's why we are Jesus only. And a lot of people use that as an insult. But you know, they don't go up to Mrs. Smith because she's loyal to her husband and say, oh, you're Smith only. Well, if she wasn't Smith only, then what other word would they use for her? And if you're not Jesus only, then what other word will we use for you? Called sinner. Now consider, we know that it gives man pleasure to make up gods. Makes him feel important. There's all kinds of psychological things. And if people didn't get a measure of peace and satisfaction, they wouldn't have been making up gods from way back. All kinds of religions and different other things. Jeremiah 5 verse 7, how shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. How shall I pardon thee for this? Jeremiah 16:20. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? It won't work. Now I'm going to study, get a little bit into examining the Antichrist or Trinity Antichrist theory, and look at it and compared to some verses here in the Word of God. Now we know the Trinity, I mean, even in their most convoluted, deceptive states, they will admit they teach three separate persons. They'll say, well, it doesn't really mean person, but they teach separate persons. And they'll go, we believe in one God and they are. Hey, if you believe in one God, you don't need to speak of your God as them or they. And you don't have three. If you walk into a room and there's three separate persons and you walked in, that means there's four beings in that room. Like I said before, you find a person that's three separate persons, then you need to report them so they can, you know, for their own safety and for the public safety. When we discover that someone is truly three separate persons, we lock them up. So you're created in the image of God, and you're not three separate persons. And if you are, then you got a problem, or maybe several. Let's look here at the back in Genesis 3, verse 8. Said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Now, if you consider the Trinity, there would have had to have been five pair of feet walking in the garden. You did one pair for Adam, one pair for Eve, and three pair for the old Trento that they were hiding from. Of course, now the more scholarly of the Trinitarians might say that only four pair of feet, because the God person number two was riding on the right hand of God person number one. And then I know you got some of the birdie God crowd that would just say one of the gods was flying around like a little bird, so they probably wouldn't. But that even bird had feet now, so that bird could have, you know, landed. So, you know, let's see how the Trinitarians are going to figure how many pair of feet were present in Genesis 3, verse 8. Now, also, the Trinitarians will try to justify, of course, they believe in only one God, but they're going to get right in the Scripture and try to justify their belief in three of them. These people need to read that little children's book, The Emperor's New Clothes, and understand what kind of con game's going down here. Let's look at Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every other creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And they go, oh, yeah, it says, let us. Well, if you really believe in only one God, why do you think that defends your belief? If you believe in one God, why do you need to keep looking for plurals? Now, some of them are honest. And they, oh, yeah, there's plural. So at least they admit that they believe in, that they're polytheists. But they should read the next verse, because it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And there again, I say, whichever one of you is three separate persons, I would encourage you to turn yourself in, get that help that you need before it is too late. Anyway, public service announcement there. But wouldn't verse 27 have to read, created they them? And if the Trinity of three created Adam in their image, where are the other two Adam persons? We would need two more Adam persons if we're going to have if Adam is a Trinity. We need two other persons. And then if one person can sit on the other person's right hands, where were Adam's two co-equal persons if he's created in the image of God? And then we need a Trinity of wives. Where's the rest of the Eves to be the brides for the Trinity of Adams? You see, Trinity is such foolishness. People in hell are going to be so ashamed that they could be so stupid, and that they probably, in many cases, paid good money to get where they're at. I say, oh, you're being mean, you're being intolerant. Well, I hope I'm being intolerant. You know, we got these Trinitarians, they claim to be one God. Oh, yeah, we believe in one God. They'll claim anything you want them to claim if they think they can snow you. They claim to be Christian and monotheistic. So how can they claim all this? And they get up there and just as nice as can be and get up there and everything. Well, and Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So in the above verses, Paul says that it is biblical to try to cut off occasion from the satanic ministers who will be pretending to be ministers of righteousness. So tell your own Bible tells you that the ministers of Satan are going to be playing Christian. They're going to be pretending to be Christians. You've got to figure out who they are. And it says the Antichrist spirits are in the world. So you've got to figure out who they are. They're the ones that are denying that it was Jehovah on the cross. They're the Antichrist. And in closing, I'm going to read a few things. Revelation 17, verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. I think of all the times how the Trinitarians go, oh, it's one and three. But it's a mystery. Yeah, it's a mystery, all right. It's Mystery Babylon. That's why you got the mother of harlots. You've got the Roman Catholic Church, which is the mother of all Trinity denominations. That's who invented this Trinity thing, the Roman Catholic Church. Who else has killed all the saints? No other organization that is considered a great whore. Why would they be considered that? Well, they have to be fake. They have to be fake Christians, we call that. It's not going to be called Islams and all those. They're just regular garden variety false religions. They're not pretending to be Christians. They're not be considered whores. They're just false. They're just devils, garden variety devils. But the Roman Catholic Church, there is your Antichrist seat and the mother of the harlots, the Trinity cults that denominated down from her, and all of them deny that it was Jehovah on the cross. They think that Jehovah sent a second person. They sent someone else. They think he sent the Son. They don't, thinking that the Son is a separate person, that's because they're polytheists. They think that it was a separate God and not the same God. But we know that God was manifest in the flesh. So remember that the definition of the word Jesus means Jehovah is salvation, means Jehovah, Yahweh. That's who... For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Yahweh has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And every spirit that confesseth not that Yahweh, Christ, is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So, if you're not Jesus only, you're not Jesus anything. The bride of Jesus Christ is the bride of Jesus only. The bride of Jesus Christ is the bride of Jehovah Savior. Let's pray. Hallelujah in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.